And happy Sunday to all of you. Happy Memorial Day. And I hope we can all enjoy this Saturday message. Sunday. I forgot. Tomorrow is still holiday, so it's good. So we are, for the past 3 weeks, we've been in this series called The Rolling Stones. The idea of The Rolling Stones is that in our life, in our Christian journey, sometimes there are this big rock that just standing in our ways. These challenges or maybe temptation or maybe difficulties that prevent us from moving forward in our faith. And so that is the idea of the Rolling Stones. And just to give you a recap, for the past 3 weeks, there are three things that we have talked about. The first one is our intellect. And of course, intellect is good. I mean, I think God created us with intellect. And thank God that we have brains, we can think, you are smart. But at the same time, sometimes our intellect is the one that trap us. Because sometimes what happens is we try to put God within that limitation of our intellect. Sometimes we force God into that small box of our knowledge. And if we cannot understand God, if you cannot explain everything that God does, then it doesn't make sense. Then God is not there. So sometimes that kind of thinking is a stone that we need to roll away. And the other two things is fear, right? In our life, there are a lot of fears in the past failures, fear about our futures, you know, what about our job, what about our maybe our family, our kids. There's a lot of fear, and then even in the Bible, there's a lot of verses that talks about do not be afraid, right? Jesus said to the disciples many times, like, do not be afraid, have faith, do not be afraid, I'm with you. Jesus says even in the Old Testament, right, God speak to many people about do not be afraid, for I am with you. And the last one is other expectations. Sometimes without realizing, to be honest, like being a Christian sometimes is hard, right? When someone asks, oh, what's your plan on Friday night? And then you say, oh yeah, I'm going to hang out with my Christian group in this event called Care Group. And then, you know, my coworkers can, what are you doing on Friday night? It's party time. It's time to go out and have fun. And then you're there singing or, you know. And sometimes it's hard to be a Christian. And sometimes we try to please everyone, and then when we need to make a step of faith, then we become overly conscious and we become afraid of, oh, what would people say if I join ministry? Oh, what people gonna say if I, you know, coming to Sunday service? And I mean, just to be honest, even in my life, there are times when I know my friends are joking about it, but then they're joking like, oh man, you're so holy now. You go to church, you go to care group, you know, you go ministry, blah, 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 right? And sometimes it can discourage us, and we feel like, oh man, these people are making fun of me. These people are, you know, making jokes out of me, and sometimes it can be uncomfortable, and then sometimes it discourages us to pursue and to continue on in our spiritual walk, in our Christian walk. And so those are the recaps, the three things that we have talked about for the last 3 weeks. And today, the last Rolling Stones. Oh, it's red. The last Rolling Stones that I want to talk about this week, this Sunday, is related to all these three questions that is a struggle for me for many years in the past. Now, I don't know if you can relate to it. I don't feel anything when I pray, or Sunday service feels dry and boring, and I hope today you don't feel that way. I hope no one fell asleep today. The other questions that often I heard, or even I myself struggling before, is, oh, when I talk to God, I do not sense that someone is listening. Am I just speaking to thin air? Is there a point in singing worship? Is there a point in prayers? I don't feel like anyone is listening, and I feel nothing. I don't feel any particular. You know, some people say, oh, I feel joy, oh, I feel love. But then for me, sometimes I feel, I don't know. It just, you know, I try to pray. So all this question is what we're going to go deeper into this Sunday. And I hope that my title for preaching or my preaching today about fact, faith, and feeling can help us to recognize this stone, these things that often prevent us from moving forward in our relationship with Jesus. So it's fact, faith, and feeling. But before I start, I want to read the verse for today. And can anyone guess what's the reading? Like, what do we celebrate? It's not Memorial Day. I know we're celebrating Memorial Days. But what do we celebrate 40 days after Easter? Oh, Lord. Yes, it's Ascension. Good, good, good. So today we are celebrating Ascension. It's Jesus' Ascension to heaven. So just to provide a little background, 40 days ago, you know, we have Easter, we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, and you know, Jesus showed himself to the disciples and even to other peoples. And during this time, in the book of Acts, Luke, the authors, the writers, records that Jesus appeared to the disciples for 40 days and to other people. And during this time, Jesus, he taught about the kingdom of God. He taught about the prophets in the past. He revealed how everything that the prophet has spoken to in the past point to him. So there are many things that Jesus does, including sharing a meal, you know. In the resurrected body, Jesus had a meal, so it's not a ghost. You know, sometimes I thought if you've seen a Casper or something like ghost, you eat and then the food just like go down and then it's uneaten. So I guess that is not what our resurrected body will be. So during this time, the 40 days, Jesus presented himself, and on the 40th day, Jesus and the disciple, they are walking. They were walking, and Jesus, you know, taught them, and then this is the time when Jesus speak to them about the great commissions, right? He tell to the disciples, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believe and is baptized will be saved, and whoever doesn't believe will be condemned. And then after that, after he had spoken those words, he was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. So that is the story of the Ascension. And just to give a little background, I have some pictures. It's the map of Jerusalem. So Mount of Olives is on the, it's kind of small. It's on the right side. So on the top right, you can see ancient. Where? This? Yeah, so ancient Jerusalem. That is just the map. And then if you go down a little bit, here it says Mount of Olives. So it's in the eastern side of the city of Jerusalem. And that is where Jesus ascended into heaven. And it's called Mount of Olives because there is a lot of olive tree. no special trick there. It's just a lot of olive tree. It's called Mount of Olives. And this is the place where people believe that the spot where Jesus ascended into heaven. So they built this Dome of Ascension to commemorate, to remember Jesus' Ascension. And the next verses that I want to talk about is this, right? So Jesus spoke to the disciple about this great commission, do this thing, and then he ascended to heaven. But what did the disciple do? And in here it's recorded that they were just gazing into heaven, which I think it makes sense. I mean, you can imagine if after, at the end of this preaching, I say, oh, I pray for you, and then I ascended, right? And then I disappear. I think you're looking at the top and see, oh, what's going on? And I think it's the same thing that happened to the disciples, right? Jesus, after spoken those words, he ascended into heaven, and then, of course, the disciples were confused. They were gazing up and then like, I've seen some miracles that Jesus did. What's going to happen now? And maybe some of them are, is Jesus going to come down 1 minute, 2 minutes, right? He's just waiting for Jesus to come down. I don't know. I mean, but there are many scenarios that I can think if I put myself as the disciples. But, you know, long story short, Jesus ascended and disappears. And now the disciples, they are kind of deprived, or basically they cannot see, touch, or hear Jesus through their physical reality, right? In the past, even after Jesus resurrect, they can touch, right? It's written that Thomas, like, oh, try to poke a hole in the hand, and then, you know, so now after the ascension, Jesus truly disappears and they're no longer there. And again, if you're the disciples, what would you feel? I mean, you've lived 3 years with this person. He's your teacher, he's your rabbi, you know, he is someone that, oh, he's God, and then now he just suddenly disappear. I mean, if I am one of them, I don't know, maybe I feel confused, like, okay, Jesus, what am I going to do next? I know you tell me to go to other places to preach and then, you know, all other things. Or maybe they feel sad, they feel lost, like, oh, yeah, I mean, when the person that you've lived for some time and then suddenly disappears, right? Like maybe your friend go back to Indo for good, or you know, just a separation. It always brings that difficult moment where you feel lost and miss, right? You miss that person. And now with all those questions, it came to my mind, but why did Jesus has to give this moment of separations, right? If just a continuation of the story is Jesus ascended to heaven, 10 days later the Holy Spirit came, and then it came down to the disciples and it changed their lives, right? But then why is there these moments? Why is there these 10 days between the ascension and the Holy Spirit coming down? Why don't Jesus ascended on Pentecost? Why don't Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit immediately came? Like, why did Jesus leave the disciples with this moment of separations? And that is a question that I have, and that also the question that I want to talk about. Because today, as I mentioned, I want to talk about this fact, faith, and feelings, right? Because if you are the disciples, now you can't see him anymore. I mean, you're feeling lost, you're feeling, I don't know, mixed feeling maybe, confused, but then how does that relate to us, right? Because oftentimes, as I mentioned, in our Christian walk, there are many times maybe where we ask God, or maybe we ask our friends, like, you know, I come to Sunday service, but nothing happens. I came to retreat, but, you know, some people feel joy, some people have testimonies, but, you know, I listen, I was prayed for, but it's I don't know, maybe I don't have anything. And that is what I want to clarify today. And I think the first step is to talk about our senses and our feelings, right? Are those bad then? Are our emotions and our senses, are they bad? And I think just to clarify, they are not bad, right? I mean, God doesn't create a robot. I mean, if we don't have emotions, then we'll be just like a robot. We don't have any feeling, and I think that is not what God want us to have. I mean, in the Bible, it's written many times about feeling of love, feeling of jealousy, feeling of joy, peace, fear. There are many feelings that are written in the Bible, and even God himself, he has feelings, right? He talk about how he doesn't like about certain things, he hates sins, he loves people, and he is compassionate. There's a lot of emotion that God has, and he portrayed to us in the Bible. So feeling is not bad, emotion is not bad, but I mean, it has a role in our life. But at the same time, one thing that I feel often become a stumbling block for people is that we make emotion as a foundation of our faith, or we make emotion as a measuring stick. When we, like I said, when we go to retreat and then, or we go to Sunday service and we don't feel anything, we feel like, oh, I think my faith just stuck there. Oh, maybe I don't have faith. And we often measure that, oh, I feel good. I when I pray or I worship and then I feel good, my faith has increased. Like oftentimes that kind of mindset that we have can trip us, because again, God doesn't ask us about feeling good. God doesn't ask us, oh, you feel good and you'll go to heaven, right? He asks about faith. And I think it's, for me, it's even better, because feelings, you know, it's influenced by many things. Just be honest, right? There are days when you wake up and you feel bad. There are days when you wake up and it seems like everything is good. And then, you know, there are times when you watch maybe your Korean drama or your any drama, and then you feel sad and, Can you imagine if your salvation depend on your feelings? I mean, every time Golden State Warrior lose, then a lot of people will worry. No. Right? I mean, when the sport team lose, then people, oh man, what happened? Maybe my salvation is shaken. Oh, what happened to my faith? Or, you know, you watch drama and you feel sad and, oh man, I feel bad. Am I still gonna go to heaven? I mean, just imagine if God says, you know, feel good, then you'll go to heaven. I mean, thankfully there is not, but God has us to have faith. And so what is faith? Faith, I guess, is not some state of feeling we get ourselves into. You know, true, there are some times when we worship and we feel like, oh man, God is there. Oh, it's, you know, I feel the peace, but that is not really a measure of faith. And I think I really like this quote by Tim Keller where he says, faith is not primarily a function of how you feel. Faith is about living out and believing what truth, what God has revealed, despite what you feel. So I think it's clear that faith has some role, right? But it's not the primary function. I mean, it's feeling has a role, but it's not the measurement of your faith, and it's not where you put your faith or the foundation of your faith, because like we see previously, you know, feeling can be influenced by many things. So what is the role of feeling then? What is the role of emotion or senses in the life of faith? And I think it's kind of going both ways. So your faith, I mean, it's not feeling, but it can produce a feeling. When you are in the depth of, suffering, or maybe in the big troubles, and you pray and you, oh God, I think you got this, you got my back, I can persevere. And those faith often produce a feeling of security, a feeling of peacefulness and calm in our hearts. So faith can cause feelings. It can produce feeling of trust, peace, gratitude, and confidence. And at the same time, feelings also help to grow your faith. Because as a human being, our emotion plays a role in what we remember. Our emotion plays a role at what left an impression in our hearts. And I mean, just imagine, I guess, you come to Sunday service, you're feeling anxiety, depressed, or angry, and then you listen to the words. And of course, I don't think you will get much out of it. But then if you come here, you worship, you feel, you know, good, you feel peace, you feel calm, you're excited to listen. And I think during those time, you can learn more. So emotion could really help, can help your faith to grow. And at the same time, faith can produce good emotions. But just again, just to be clear, your emotion shouldn't be the measuring stick of your faith. And so what? Right? We talk about faith, we talk about emotion, so what? Today, I only have 2 points. The first one, I think it's from my experience, especially in my early years of my Christian walk, and it's about this, right? Because I haven't felt maybe God's presence, maybe the feeling of peacefulness or love or anything, and that means I don't have faith. I think I've had this struggle before, and I've heard people talk about it like, oh yeah, I don't know, I don't feel anything. But some people says they feel, oh yeah, they pray and then they feel with joy. Oh, they pray, they feel with peacefulness. But then, I don't know, I try to talk with God, I try to worship, but then I don't feel anything. And then I ask myself, so do that means I don't have faith? Does that mean something is wrong with me? And I mean, it's a struggle for a few years. And I think understanding that, now that I understand that, you know, my faith is not about my feeling or what I experience, but about living out and believing the truth, you know, the facts, the revelation that God has given us, that really helped me and gave me confidence in my journey in living out a Christian walk. And sometimes also that when you're called to ministry or you're called to share with your friends or when you're called to, be a missionary or you're asked to tithe, give an offering, oftentimes we feel we're not excited. I mean, to be honest, the first time, learn to give, it's not exciting for me. I feel like, man, I work hard, I study hard to get this job, and then I need to give. How much? And it's not, you know, I'm not feeling good about it. And there are many times when I need to go to care group. Oh, man, I need to go to care group, really? There are many times when my feeling goes against what my leader says, when my feelings go against what the Bible says, when, you know, when the Bible says, oh, yeah, be forgiving. And, you know, deep in my heart, I was like, dude, that hurts. I don't feel like forgiving, right? But those moments where we have to go against our feelings, I think also the moment where you're actually living out your faith, that is the moment when your faith grows. So I hope that despite of your feelings, you can keep your focus on the truth, on what God has revealed, on the resurrection, on the cross, on the forgiveness of sins, regardless of what you feel. And at the same time, if you are in this stage where you feel like, oh, I don't have, you know, I don't feel any particular closeness, I don't have intimacy with God, I don't feel peace, it's just so-so, I pray, it's so-so, I worship, it's so-so, there's no joy in it, there is no excitement in it, there is no happy in it, it's just so-so, I invite you to desire and to ask God to experience Him and to know Him, not just in our heads. I mean, oftentimes we became a Christian, we in our heads we believe, oh yes, God is good, oh yes, God has died for me, oh yes, and all these things that you memorize, all these verses that you can just speak it out, you know, the God is my shepherd, you know, oh, God so loved the world, you can speak it out, but then it's all in your mind and you haven't really have an intimacy or a relationship with God. And I invite you to desire that, because when you have that relationship, when you have that closeness, that is when you can truly experience the promise that Jesus says. You know, there are many things that He says, but then the two things that I just want to put in here is the joy. There's this fullness of joy. It's written in Psalms. Like, when you are in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Or Jesus says to the disciples, right, before He go, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. There is this peace and joy that He promised to the disciples and to us. And this kind of feeling, this kind of joyous emotions, you know, I think God wants us to have it. And God will give it to us as we build our relationship with Him, as we build our intimacy with them. I mean, after all, with your good friends or with your girlfriend or boyfriend, with your spouse, you don't just have intimacy in day one, right? You don't just meet someone and then, oh man, I love you, and I, you know, it's not like that, right? You meet someone, you talk to him, and then you get to know one another, you start spending time together, and little by little, there is this intimacy, and then there's this feeling of closeness that you experience. And this is the thing that I want each of us to experience, because it's the fullness of life that Jesus has promised to all of His followers, and it's open for every one of you. And sure, it takes some time, it takes some perseverance to build that relationship, but I would say it's totally worth it. And, you know, from someone who has experienced this, I mean, she testified that the joy makes a person so forgetful of self and of all things that he doesn't pay any attention to, nor can he speak of anything other than the praise of God which proceeds from his joy. I mean, this is the kind of joy that I really wish you have. This is the kind of joy that I wish that you can experience in your lifetime. Not just, you know, oh yeah, when I go to heaven, I'm with God and it will be all joyful. No, there's so much love and joy and peace that you can also experience while you are living on this earth. And when you can experience that God is speaking to your heart or touch your soul, it's beyond words. It's the love that, you know, your heart is swelled with love, and out of that abundance of love where you can say to God wholeheartedly, yes, God, I love you. Yes, God, I'm willing to suffer for you. Yes, God, I'm going to love others because you have loved me much. And that is not something that you just get from memorizing first. That is not what you get from just doing Bible study, right? I mean, it's good. I'm not saying it's bad, but I want you to build the relationship so that you can also experience this kind of joy and intimacy with the Lord. And the second part, the second point is, if it feels good, then God is there. If not, then God is absence, or some variants of these statements. Sometimes people say, yes, you know, I go to Sunday service, I go to prayer meeting, but I don't feel anything, so maybe God is not present, or maybe God is not listening. And or sometimes this is also an experience that I go through, and the experience that people have shared with me as they live their life. So they become a Christian, they build the relationship, they build the intimacy, and then suddenly he loses that. Suddenly he feels that God is far away, distance away, and he begins to wonder, do I really have faith? Does all that thing that happened in the past really happen? Or do I just make imagination, right? It's kind of similar with what the disciple experienced, where they live with Jesus for 3 years, and then Jesus disappears, and then they can't sense him anymore. And I mean, to be honest, in your life, there might be seasons like that. There might be seasons where, man, suddenly I'm not motivated to pray, I'm not motivated to read the Bible, I'm not motivated to do anything related to Jesus, right? I'm still on fire to go have fun, I'm still on fire for school, but then if it has anything to do with church, if it has anything to do with God, then I don't know. Maybe it's not my thing right now. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I experienced those things, and I guess as I study this about Christian journey, it's also often called like the trial of faith, or the spiritual desolation, or the spiritual dryness. Basically, it's a moment of separation where, you know, suddenly God just feels very far away from you. And there are some three big symptoms that usually comes with it. The first one is, like what I mentioned, it's the feeling of distance and separations. You can't sense him anymore. Maybe in the past, when you pray, you can feel like, oh yeah, God is listening. Or maybe when you worship, or when you listen to a preaching, you can feel that, oh, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. But now suddenly it just disappears. And the second one is doubt and confusion regarding one's faith. So oftentimes in this period, you begin to wonder and ask yourself, do I really have faith? Maybe, you know, someone just shared with me, like, oh yeah, I went to retreat. It was good. You know, I was prayed for. I filled with love. I filled with freedom. And then 2-3 months later, it's like, it's nothing. and then he began to think, like, does that really happen? What is going on? What is wrong with me? What is happening? And that's why it says there's a lot of doubt and confusion. And the third one is disturbance and restlessness. And it happens only for something that related to God. So if you are restless, if you're anxiety, depressed all the times, I think that is a different story. That is, maybe you have a depression or some other issue, but this one, it's particularly specific. So it's only when you start to pray, only when you start reading your Bible, only when you worship, then just this restlessness, this anxiety, this quietness in your hearts that really making it hard for you to truly worship, to truly speak to God. And these three things or this period, it can go for days, can go for weeks, or sometimes months. And what really surprising me, one person said that it goes for years, and that person is Mother Teresa. I was reading like kind of an articles about Mother Teresa from the latest book that calls Come Be My Lights. And in that book, she spoke about, it's basically a diary, it's a journal of her life. And in that journal, she spoke about how God is calling her to go to India, how God is calling her to, after she arrived in India, God calling her to serve the very poor and the sick and the slums. And during those times, she said, oh yeah, God is so close to me, intimate with me. But then now, in the middle of her serving, in the middle of her mission, when he actually served those very poor, those sick people, she says, wait, Jesus has a very special love for you, but as for me, the silence and the emptiness is so great that I look and do not see, I listen but do not hear. So there is an experience that might happen to you as well. If you continue on in your Christian walk, as you being a disciple of Jesus, there might be this moment, like the disciple experience, there's this moment of separation where you just kind of lose that sense of closeness with God. And I think what really amazing for me is that the fact, as we all know, that Mother Teresa doesn't stop, right? I mean, this happening in the middle of that mission, but then she keeps serving the poor. She keeps pouring out her soul, her energy, her heart for those who are suffering. And I really hope that when you are in this moment, you don't go back, you don't surrender, but you keep persevering in your mission. You keep doing what you've been doing so far, and you keep continuing, you keep pressing on. And I believe that at the end of it, there is something greater for you. That is a moment where you step into a new level of closeness, a new level of your faith. And but if you are in that period, if you ever go into that period, there are three things that that from what I've learned is that it's like kind of the things you should do. The first one, if you're in that moment of difficulties, you don't want to talk about it, right? You feel, oh man, if I tell this to my friend or if I tell this to my pastors, what would they think? If suddenly, you know, I'm a minister or maybe I'm a worship leader and then suddenly I feel this emptiness, what would they think? You know, that is the temptation, and that is the challenge for us, that during this difficult time, sometimes our pride doesn't let us to share about this difficult moment. Sometimes our pride doesn't let us to seek help from others. But it's totally the opposite. It's suggested that when you are in that difficult moment, you seek like a spiritual director, your pastors, your leaders, and talk about it. And the second one is, during this time, there will be a big temptation to change how you live or change your commitments or change any previous routine that you've done. For example, oh yeah, I'm committed to do a fasting maybe, or I'm committed to do a devotion every day. And then during this time, you'll be very, very tempted to make a new decision to change your routine, or oh, maybe it's not the time for me, let me stop, or oh, maybe it doesn't work for me, let me stop. So it is said that during this time, the devil is often putting this temptation to your mind, and that's why it's suggested, it's recommended that you keep on your routine and your devotions. And the last one is just, like I said, just persevere and keep pressing on, because at some point, you know, God knows, and God will let you know about His presence. And then at some point, you can, you know, Because this is called a test, right? At some point, the test will end. And so our role is to persevere and continuing. And as we pass our test, I believe that you can go into a higher level, a deeper level of faith with Jesus. The faith where it doesn't being chained by your emotion. The faith that doesn't get chained by the things that are happening outside of you. I believe that when you pass through the trials, you can have a faith that's firm regardless of anything that happened outside of you, a faith that is firm regardless of how you feel. And that is the kind of faith that I wish that all of us here can build and can grow together. And that is my sharing. And again, at the end, there will be stones, I guarantee. In your Christian walk, it's not going to be a smooth sailing, walking, and it's all beautiful. There will be challenges, there will be temptations, there will be these stones that stop you or try to make you go away and turn back. And I really hope that when you are in that position, you'll have that courage and faith to roll the stone away by the grace of God. And the musician came up. I'm gonna close. And many moments in my life has been difficult in terms of my emotions and my feelings. There are moments in my life, like I mentioned, that I don't feel like doing. There are moments in my life where I feel injustice, like, why do I have to do this? There are moments in my life where I don't feel like worship. I don't feel like coming to church. And I hope that, I mean, maybe some of you are experiencing that. And I hope that through this message, I can encourage you to go beyond that feeling, to go and fight beyond that temptation and to keep pressing on. When you pray but you don't feel like anyone is listening, when you worship but it seems dry, when you question yourself whether God is there, when you begin to doubt whether God really loves you or not, I pray that you can hold on to that truth, to the what Jesus has says, what the what is written in the Bibles, that God loves you, that God is there for you, that you are His children. When you feel lost and feel distant, I hope that you can say this first many times, that I will not leave you nor forsake you. You might, yes, we might not be able to sense His presence, we might not be able to see Him, but I encourage you to hold on and to believe and to live out that truth, to live out what God has says again and again, that He cares for you, that He loves you, that He wants you to come to Him and to have relationship with you. And I encourage, I invite everyone to stand up, and I'm gonna pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this opportunity, for this time where we can gather here. Lord, I pray that your words will strengthen us. Though we might not feeling it, though it might not feel good to us, Lord, I pray that we can come to believe and to live out your truth. Lord, we pray that we can have the faith that can stand firm in the midst of our suffering. Lord, I pray that we can have faith that can go beyond what our feeling says. The faith that can go beyond our fears, beyond what people say about us. Lord, the kind of faith that you keep saying to the apostle. Lord, I pray that we all will grow and have faith that can move mountains. Lord, and I pray for some of people at home that may be struggling in their faith, that may be struggling in their Christian walk. Lord, may your mercy be upon them. Lord, may you come into their hearts and let them know and experience how much love you have for them. Oh Lord, pour out your love that will make their hearts swell and grow and enlarge with the love that you give them, Lord. Let their cup be full of your blessing and your mercy and your goodness. Lord, I pray for those of us that are in the midst of testing. I pray for those of us that are in the midst of this trial. Lord, may they persevere, knowing that at the end of this test, at the end of this, at the back of this stone, when they roll away the stones, there are more precious things lies behind it. There are a deeper relationship. There are more intimate relationship that they can experience with you. And the kind of faith that they will have at the end of this trial. Lord, I pray that you will guide us. Oh, Holy Spirit, I pray that you who dwell in our hearts will lead us and set us free and to follow God wholeheartedly and to trust in His truth no matter what.